Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. It is good for us to all be here. It is good for us to join our voices to those praising God across time and space. It is good to be here today. We have Sunday school bags in the back of the church. If you are someone, if there's a child with you, if there's a child going to come visit you today, if there's children in your neighborhood, whatever, we have Sunday school bags, a way for them to see all of the different ways in which God loves them. We also have Sunday school for our children and adults in between services, so please join us for that as well. Today in worship, we welcome Randy Boyd, who is a representative of Gideon's International. As you're leaving worship, there's a table with a plate and another one on the way out. If your generosity so inspires you, please make sure that you leave a contribution for their ministry as you leave. This Thursday, we will continue our Bible study on the Gospel according to St. John. This week, we're looking at chapters 4, 5, 6, and 7, and so you are welcome to join us. We meet in the parlor at 6:30 on Thursday evening, so join us for that Bible study on the Gospel of John. I want to make sure that I say thanks to all who helped with the Thrift Shop coat drive yesterday. It's an incredible ministry, and we are grateful for all the participation we had for that. On Sunday, October 24th, we're going to have a cookout after the 10:30 service. All right, the grills will be going in the parking lot, and we hope that the weather will cooperate. Plan on joining us and bringing a side dish of your choice to share so that we can celebrate all of God's goodness for us all. That is Sunday, October 24th. This coming weekend, there are many other announcements in your bulletin, and I hope you have a chance to read through them and discover ways to plug yourselves into the ministry that is happening here. But we've gathered this morning to be in worship. Please rise as our worship begins. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Our gathering song is I Will Follow, and we sing along with the recording.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. Sure, I will trust in you alone, higher than my sight, high above my life. I will trust in you alone.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, increase in us your gift of faith, that forsaking what lies behind and reaching out to what lies ahead, we may follow the way of your commandments and receive the crown of everlasting joy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first lesson is from Amos chapter 5, verses 6 and 7 and 10 through 15. Seek the Lord and live, or he will break out against the house of Joseph like fire, and it will devour Bethel, with no one to quench it. Ah, you that turn justice to wormwood and bring righteousness to the ground, they hate the one who reproves in the gate, and they harbor the one who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and take from them levies of grain, you have built houses of hewed stone, but you shall not live in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions, and how great are your sins, you who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe, and push aside the needy in the gate. Therefore the prudent will keep silent in such time, for it is evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, just as you have said, hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joint from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and right intentions of our heart. And before him no creature is hidden, but all are naked and lay bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confessions, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark in the 10th chapter. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded, and they said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals, it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was growing up in the morning, as I was eating my cereal, I would typically read the cereal box. I don't know if any of the rest of you did that. In fact, my younger brother Philip and I would sometimes argue with each other about who got to read which particular side of the cereal box. You know, because as you're reading a really good cereal like Captain Crunch, there was usually something bright and ridiculous and silly on the back. Sometimes if you were eating something wholesome that Mom bought, like Total, there was something on the back, but it was never as exciting, but it was better than the sides. See, because the sides, usually there was an offer for something on one, and then the other was the ingredients and all the nutritional information, all right? As you're reading that side of the box, you begin looking and seeing what it is. What are the minimum daily requirements? And that's what I began thinking about as I was reading this morning's gospel. She could read on your cereal box that eating that bowl of cereal was giving you 4% of your daily requirement of riboflavin, which always made me wonder where in the world I was supposed to find the other 96% of whatever riboflavin was. But those minimum daily requirements, they were projected by some agency or something that was concerned for our nutrition and our health. They let us know that there's always work to be done, but there are also just these minimum requirements. If you hit these minimum requirements, you don't have to worry about anything else because there you'll at least be healthy and have nothing to worry about. See, that's what I think the question to Jesus in this morning's gospel is getting to. The young man who comes to Jesus is looking to discover the minimum daily requirement for salvation. What must I do to inherit eternal life? He asks. And in that question, I hear the young man asking, what must be done? What is the requirement? More importantly, what's the minimum requirement? Because if he had to do something, and I believe that he thought he had to do something, then he wanted to know what it was, and he wanted to know what the minimum safe amount was for himself. That's a typical human response to all kinds of things. What do I have to do? I always loved it in college when I would get a syllabus from the professor telling me what the assignments were, what the dates were, what the required readings were, when the papers were due, when we were going to have exams, because then I knew the effort I had to put in. Most of the time, the minimum effort I had to put in. Sometimes we have job descriptions at work letting us know what is expected daily or weekly or monthly. And when you ask your children to do something, it is always good to let them know exactly what you expect from them, because otherwise your idea of what a clean room is and their idea of what a clean room is will be vastly different and wildly unapproachable. See, I believe that that is what brought this young man to Jesus. He's heard many ideas about what is required in our relationship with God. He may have even tried many different programs to help him feel secure in his relationship with God. See, I don't think that this young man came to trip Jesus up. I don't think he came to trap Jesus. I think he was genuinely interested in Jesus' answer. I think he was hoping to learn something new from all of this. So when Jesus asks about his life in connection to the commandments, you can hear the disappointment. That's nothing new. The commandments he's known and followed and kept since childhood. You can almost hear the whine as he's saying things like, is that all? He was hoping for something new, something fresh, something different. He tells Jesus that he's done all of that, and that's when Jesus changes the entire conversation. You lack one thing, Jesus says, go, sell, give away, come and follow me. Now, every time I read that part of this story, I hear our cry as we wonder, is that the minimum requirement? That can't be the minimum, can it? See, this young man had been hoping for a new program, a new system to follow. And I think that young man was looking for a chance to increase his prayer life. Or maybe even increase his giving, but go sell everything? Is Jesus really asking that? And is he asking that of us as well? My answer is this. Yes, Jesus is asking that of that young man at that time. See, the young man who came to ask Jesus this question was so focused on himself and on what he could do on behalf of himself, that Jesus challenged him to die to that self-focus and to focus on his neighbors instead. It's not that Jesus is against all wealth, but Jesus knows that wealth can be a distraction for us. We get wrapped up in attaining it, growing it, protecting it, so that wealth becomes for us a master instead of what God in our Lord Jesus Christ intends it to be. They want us to see it as a tool so we can share God's grace. There's another way that we can look at this young man and his question. We've been talking about him looking for a minimum daily requirement, right? But it could be that he's looking instead to prove himself, to prove his prowess and his stamina as a child of God. He could be asking Jesus to send him on an adventure, on an epic quest, so that he can prove that he is worthy of this eternal life with God. Like people who sail solo around the world or climb mountain peaks. He might be looking for a challenge to get his heart racing and to help him earn extra points in God's scorebook. It's just that Jesus responds, go, sell what you have, give to the poor, come and follow me. Isn't the adventure, isn't the quest he was hoping for? He goes away sad, for he had many possessions. You see, I think this is why Jesus was talking about camels and needles. We look to find ways to excel and exceed around those, to exceed over those around us. Too often, we want to look good to other people, or we want people to see us as important and special. And Jesus wants to let us know that while we might win a race or climb a mountain, when it comes to our relationships to God, when it comes to our salvation, all our efforts are worthless. We may as well try to put a camel through the eye of a needle. There is no minimum requirement we must do or even can do in order to get God's attention. There is no quest for us or effort for us to achieve in order to be saved, in order to earn God's love in our lives. We can't do it. So for Jesus, it is all about grace. Jesus steps forward as he's teaching. And he steps forward so he can tell us the truth about wealth. Wealth was seen at the time Jesus was alive as proof of God's favor and blessing. It still is in our day and age as well. But for Jesus, wealth can distract us from the true relationship that God has given us in Christ himself. Like that young man who was looking for something to do. He thought that commandments were too easy and giving everything away was too hard. Jesus wants us to see that a right relationship with God is impossible for us alone. But for God, all things are possible. God in Christ is repairing our relationship with God. What we have destroyed by sin is now repaired in Jesus. And we have life connected to that eternal one in the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What matters now is that we get to share. What matters now is that we look to the least of these, our sisters and brothers. That we look to strangers and enemies as if they were family and friends. And we love them, all of them, unconditionally, willingly, and sacrificially. This is what Jesus is getting to when he speaks to Peter and the disciples. He shows them that first is last when you are willing to live for others. And that last is first as you care for these least and lost ones. And whether to do that you leave home and family, or whether to do that you join with family to make it real, we are all called to see our neighbors as fellow children of God, as human beings in need of love and relationships. Jesus is encouraging us to leave go of our concerns for ourselves alone so that God's love can flow through us to the world around us. You see, for Jesus, it is all about grace. It is about God's love coming to us in forgiveness, life, and salvation. Jesus, like Amos, is encouraging us to turn to God and live, to work for justice, to live in that right relationship that God provides us, to lift up the poor, to aid the sick, to care for those in need, because that is how God treats us. There is no minimum we must achieve for ourselves and our salvation. There is no maximum that will make us look especially good to God and the world around us. What there is need all around us and opportunities to meet those needs for the sake of others. So don't be distracted by self or wealth or anything. Instead, let us follow Jesus and love the world. Amen. Please rise. In remembrance and celebration of our baptism, let us confess together our faith in the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Made children and heirs of God's promise, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Uniting God, you call forth different gifts and those who follow you. Encourage us to welcome the diverse benefits and blessings of the whole church in teaching, preaching, prophecy, healing, and more. Lord, in your mercy, nurturing God, you bring forth crops from the soil and bounty from the trees. Increase the produce of the land and bless all who toil in fields and orchards. Provide for good working conditions and keep them safe. Lord, in your mercy, empowering God, you offer compassion for those who are overlooked or forgotten. Open the hearts of local, national, and world leaders to show such compassion and love for their neighbors. Lord, in your mercy, sheltering God, in Jesus you traveled among us without a place to lay your head. Provide safe places to sleep and rest for those who have no place to live. Sustain ministries that offer food, clothing, and peace of mind. Lord, in your mercy, renewing God, you bring life out of death. Help us part with those things that are no longer beneficial to us and open our hearts to see where new life is budding in this congregation. Lord, in your mercy, risen Christ, as your death and resurrection give us hope, we recall with joy the saints who have gone before us. Praying for your comfort and hope, we remember especially David Gunnell, Carl Reinhardt, and Patricia Folt. Be with their families and friends, and keep us all strong in hope that we may ever rely on your love in this life. Lord, in your mercy, receive these prayers, O God, and those in our hearts known only to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you send to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. It is in the love of God that we are saved. It is in the spirit of that same love that I bid you now come to his table of grace.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Rise. As the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ fills us with strength, we are also sent out in love and service. And so together we pray, gracious and abundant God, you have done great things for us, and we rejoice. In this bread and cup, you give us life forever. In your boundless mercy, strengthen us and open our hearts to the world's needs for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Please stay safe, stay healthy as you go into the world with hope.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.